morning, our scripture is found in the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah. And we will be reading in chapter 29, verses 11 through 14, being read by Mrs. Abuena King.
For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile.
This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we consider the text that we have just heard, this morning, let's focus on divine plans and human hopes. Divine plans and human hopes. Have you ever desired to be closer to God, or even considered what that would be like? I know we believe in the Holy Spirit, and that on Pentecost, God sent the Holy Spirit to be our advocate, our comforter, our guide, and our friend. But do you at times feel as though God and the Spirit are distant, in some ways an out of touch reality that you long to experience in more tangible ways? Do you, as I sometimes do, feel as though God is way too quiet and is not quite hearing what we're saying about life and the conditions that we face every day? Do you sometimes feel as if the things you plan for and hope for meet with failure more often than they find success? Well, if you do, you're not alone. But if we're open to hear the words of the prophet Jeremiah, we might just find an answer to all of our questions. And it might just be an answer that gives our human hopes a divine future. There's nothing in the world quite like reminiscing. There's nothing quite like involving ourselves in the glory days of the past and remembering how good it was. English writer Caleb Bingham once said, "Many are always praising the bygone time, for it's natural that the old should extol the days of their youth, the weak, the time of their strength, the sick, the season of their vigor, and the disappointed, the springtide of their hopes." Ask anyone old enough to remember their youth, and they'll probably tell you that the music they listened to was the best music ever created. They talk about their times of fun, excitement, and adventure, and that those were some of the best times of their lives. Ask someone who, after they were considered an underdog, came out victorious and sitting on top of the world. Ask someone who is dealing with serious health issues what it was like before their illness, and they'll tell you about the days when they ran like a young deer and leaped like a gazelle and could move mountains without straining. And maybe there's something genuine about reminiscing. Bingham's statement suggested not only might reminiscing be revealing, but it's also a natural thing to do. And maybe we reminisce because we believe that the past behind us is brighter than the future before us will ever be. Perhaps we think back and remember because we cherish the highlighted moments and memories more than we get excited about an unknown future and the adventure of a new day. And maybe we reminisce because we can't imagine the future ever being better than the past we've lived through. Perhaps we reminisce because we believe the past is really all we have. Yet, if we've heard and believed the word of God speaking to us through the prophet Jeremiah, then we'd have to swallow our pride and humbly admit that our future is brighter than ever before. This small section of scripture found in Jeremiah has a lot to say to us, not just about Jeremiah's time, but about our time as well. Jeremiah was faced with a terrible dilemma. The Jews had been dispossessed of their land and living in exile for some time now, living in a land that was not their own for what seemed like forever. And Jeremiah wrote to them to offer them a message of hope, to tell them not to despair. He told them that they were going to be in exile for a long time, 70 years, they were going to be in exile, but not to despair. He told them to go ahead and do as God had told them to do. And before we get to our text today, what God told them was build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters and multiply there. And do not decrease. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. Perhaps their despair had left them feeling hopeless. There's no doubt in the mind of the prophet Jeremiah or God or the people of that exiled community that what they wanted to experience were the glory days of their past. What they wanted to do, once again, was bask in the waters of the River Jordan. They wanted to see the beauty of the temple and not know that the Ark of the Covenant was safe and as close to them as they were to their homeland. They wanted to feel the joy of community within their community. They wanted to experience the exhilaration of seeing Mount Sinai in the distance and remember the covenant their God had made there with Moses and their people. They wanted to experience once again the celebration of the Passover in Jerusalem with all of their people, to see their brothers and sisters and cousins and uncles and all telling and retelling the story of what life was like when they were the big dog on the block. But they didn't realize that God was asking them to bloom where they were planted, to become the foundation and model community that represented God's values, justice, morality, and spirit. They were being instructed to make sure that even though they were far away from each other, in their daily lives, they would remain close to God. God's message to Jeremiah was for them to be faithful to God where they were, to tell them that their best days were ahead of them and not behind them. God wanted them to know and believe that greatness was their destiny and that they shouldn't worry about their present circumstances, because from the mouth of God came these words to Jeremiah, "For surely I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope. And then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. Now, these words came as a surprise to people who had figured that their future was doomed. These were words of promise and hopefulness and not despair. God knew something was in store for them because it was God's plan for them. God knew that there was much more in store for them than they could imagine. God wanted them to know that God's plan was to build such a relationship with them that they would always be assured that God was close. They would always be assured that God heard their prayers. They would and could always be confident that God wouldn't seem distant and far away, would be easy to find in an intimate and close relationship with God. God's plan was to build their community through serious prayer, giving them hope and a picture of a glorious future, to shame their present challenges, reducing them to nothing more than a dull memory. Now, maybe you're asking yourself, among other things, Rev, what has all of this got to do with us? We haven't been and aren't in exile from any land that we know of. What has this got to do with us? And maybe because we sometimes reminisce about how it used to be, wishing it were that way once again, or even better, speaks to the similarities between our situation and that of the exiled Jews. After all, we too had a heyday. We too had a time when we were at the pinnacle of our existence as a church, or at least thought we were. I can see your faces lighting up right now and the smiles that you remember back when. And we've also had those times when we felt God was far off and not up close and personal. We've also had those times when our plans failed miserably and we felt lost and that our prayers weren't being heard. Maybe today, given the current world circumstances, is one of those days when our prayers seem to go unanswered and our hopes are dashed against the hard rocks of circumstances. Maybe today is one of those days when hope with a future seems out of sight, mind, and spirit. Or maybe today we should be focusing on the vision that God gave us and get excited about God's plan for our future with hope. A future brighter than the past we've gloried in. You see, brothers and sisters, I've said before, and in an afterthought, said in error, that someone once said there are only two plans. There are our plans and God's plans, and our plans don't count. Well, I've given it a lot of thought. And the more I think about it, the more I'm convinced that whoever thought that there are only two plans was only partly correct about his statement and wrong in a couple of ways. You see, brothers and sisters, in reality, there are three plans, not two. There's our plan, and then there's God's plan, and then there's no plan at all. And of the three, no plan is the easiest plan to implement. Our plan is the one we most frequently put in front of people to see and implement, but often God's plan is the only one that makes sense and promises us a future with any hope. You see, brothers and sisters, whenever we implement our plan, all too often it is laden with our own selfishness. We want to make sure that we get the credit for what we do, and sometimes we don't mind if someone else's feelings get hurt as long as we get our way. Frequently, our plan doesn't include God at any point in the process. We find that the praise of God and the pursuit of what God wants becomes secondary to what is on our own personal agenda. And whenever we put God in that position, we write our own recipe for failure. That's why Jesus told the disciples and everyone else who had ears to hear to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else would follow. Jesus didn't say, seek first your plan, or after we've mulled over God's plan, do whatever we want, and then seek the kingdom of God. He said, seek first the kingdom of God. In other words, follow God's plan for your future before you do anything else. And you don't have to take my word for it. All you have to do, friends, is read your Bibles. Read what happened to the Hebrew children when they decided they couldn't wait for Moses to come down from Mount Sinai to worship the real God. Did they follow God's plan of salvation for their lives? No. They decided that a golden calf was just the God they needed to worship and honor for setting them free from slavery on their journey out of the land of Egypt. That wasn't God's plan, but that was their plan. And read where David decided on his own, without consulting God, that he would make Bathsheba his woman. Did it matter that she was Uriah's wife? Did it matter that having Bathsheba wasn't God's plan, but his plan? Absolutely not. All David knew is that he wanted her, and he laid plans and made plans to get her, even if it meant that Uriah had to die, and even if it meant the loss of his child out of an adulterous relationship. And what about Sapphira and Ananias? Read in Acts what happened to Sapphira and Ananias when they decided that it would be a good thing if they held back a portion of their possessions from the community of faith instead of God's plan of generosity for the welfare of the community. Did they care that it was selfish? Did they consider the outcome of their selfishness? No. They just decided that their plan was the best plan and ended up dead because of it. And they weren't the only ones. There were plenty of others who had plans that weren't God's plans, whose way in didn't factor God in, and in the end, they ended up in failure. And if we don't use our plan, then we often resort to no plan. Then whatever we do becomes the plan. Or while the credit is often given to Benjamin Franklin, it was actually Reverend H.K. Williams who said, if you fail to plan, then you plan to fail. And that's the way life is when we don't have any plans. The plan doesn't have to have a focus. It doesn't have to be fueled by a dream or a vision. It doesn't have to have phases or options or a plan A or a plan B. When we have no plan, then no plan becomes plan A, B, and C through Z. When we have no plan, all we have to do is sit here and whatever idea is thrown against the wall and sticks becomes the plan. When we have no plan, all we have to do is let whatever is going to happen, happen. When we have no plan, it's impossible to go anywhere because anywhere we go is the plan. Whatever we do is all right. However it turns out is okay. Whatever we get is satisfactory. It becomes good enough. And everybody knows that good enough never is. And it's wrong to believe that our plans don't count. To believe that is only partially true. Our plans do count. They count only if and when our plans are the same as God's plans for us. Our future is only secure and filled with hope if the future agrees with God's future for us. If God's plan for us is to become living examples of Christ's love active in service to our community, then our future filled with hope is dependent on making sure we're doing what we can to make God's plan a reality in our plan. You see, friends, in a movie adaptation of Lewis Carroll's book, Alice in Wonderland, Alice in the Cheshire Cat become engaged in a conversation in which Alice asks which direction she should take to get to an unnamed, undisclosed, and uncertain place. In the movie, Alice asks the cat for directions, and the cat replies, well, that depends a good deal on where you want to get to. And then Alice says, well, I don't much care where. The cat then says, then it doesn't matter which way you go. The original, more accurate phrasing of the cat's reply is found in the book. And what the cat says to Alice is, if you don't know where you are going, any road will take you there. If you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. A later, more memorable meme comes from New York Yankees catcher and curmudgeon Yogi Berra, who said, if you don't know where you're going, you'll end up someplace else. If you don't know where you're going, you'll end up someplace else. But the truth is, it does matter which way we go if God's plan and God's plans for us are pointing us in the right direction and giving us clear instructions on how to get there. It does matter where we're going if we want to end up where God wants us to be. It does matter where we're going if God already knows the plans God has for us, plans to prosper us and not to harm us, plans for our future with hope. Well, what are you saying, Rev? Are you saying that we're doomed to a future of death and despair? Are you saying that we're consigned to a future of struggle and evil? Are you saying that there is no future, no hope, and no help? And the answer is no. I'm not saying any of those things. When the world sees a future with no hope, they too often see it as a shadow of failure. They too often see it in the light of a dismal end of things. Psychologist William Marston asked 3,000 people, what have you to live for? And he was shocked to discover that 94% were simply enduring the present while they waited for the future, waited for something to happen, waited for next year, waited for someone to die, waited for tomorrow, unable to see that all anyone ever has is today, because yesterday is gone and tomorrow exists only in hope. But if any of us are to be what God has intended us to become, if our church is to end up where God wants it to end up, then we have to realize that God's plan has to be our plan, and our plan has to be God's plan. Our plan has to conform to the will and plan of our God for our lives, to the future with hope that God has laid out for us. And we can't afford the danger of believing that God has a plan for our lives and not believe that God will be faithful and work out God's plans for us. We can't afford the mistake of basking in the dying ember of yesterday's fire when the radiant, shining promise and hope of God's future is burning in our future. We have to face this day with the broad recognition that we are in partnership with God and that God has greater things in store for us than our past. And while God may be working it out, we also have a responsibility. And our responsibility is just as the prophet Jeremiah told the children of God in his day. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. That means that we can't let our minds focus on the days when. We can't allow ourselves to continually look back at the past as if God was only alive then and there and is not present with us here and now. You see, brothers and sisters, the bygone times always seem to carry with them the tragic sense of resignation. As long as we focus on the way we were, we can never become what God has planned for us to be. So instead of focusing on what we can't be, we must put our energies into becoming what God has called us to be. Instead of reminding ourselves of what we can't do, we must start reminding ourselves of what's possible with God. You see, God has called us to be a servant service church. So we should live in the present with belief in God's hope for our future, because there are greater things ahead for us, brothers and sisters. There are great things in our future that God has planned for us. It's in our future that we are transformed to become the church that God has envisioned us to be. And I'm sure we have our own ideas of what we want. And perhaps we all want something different. But I'm reminded of the word of God that says, "My thoughts and ways are higher than yours." God will always, hear this, brothers and sisters, God will always present us with a vision bigger than we can imagine, with opportunities more challenging than we can accomplish on our own, with results greater than we can hope for or imagine. And this is not so that we will feel impotent, but so that we might know the almighty power of God. And so we must raise our hopes and expand our boundaries. We must start believing that with God, all things are possible. That with God, we can be a living vessel of hope, imitating Christ, active in service to this community. And it doesn't happen because these are our plans. They happen because God has said, "For I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." And God's plan is that we become living examples of Christ's love, active in service to our community. Brothers and sisters, just imagine God's divine plan to prosper us, to give and fulfill our human hopes, and a future filled with a more intimate relationship with God. Imagine one day opening the doors of the church, not just because it's Sunday or because the sermon is over, but opening the doors of the church 7 days a week because we're doing ministry to people in need. Just imagine, brothers and sisters, what we might become when we become a living example of Christ's love, ministering to children in our community who need a safe place to learn, to play, and to grow into the image of Christ. Imagine what our church will look like when we, like Jesus, openly invite and welcome the children coming to us because they are the ones who make up the kingdom of God. Imagine our church once again having a full-blown youth program, teaching children, making disciples, and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Imagine what we might become if we start ministering to ill-prepared mothers and children, equipping them to always be prepared to live, to be taken off of government assistance. Imagine how much better the community will be if we begin preparing them and their children now for the changes that will be inevitable in the future. Just imagine, brothers and sisters, if each year we could take children on a journey where they could search for God and be found by God instead of turning them loose in a world where the most important letters in their alphabet are G, U, N. Just imagine what could happen to their minds if we could provide them with a place where they were listening to stories about Christ, singing and playing music and praising the God of hope and the God of second chances, instead of listening to music that denounces the world as a place with no hope and no opportunity. Just imagine for a moment how the community might be transformed when our community becomes a place where the church existed as a community of people that revitalized and strengthened the economic and human resources of the community instead of leaving them up to the politicians and social service agencies. Just imagine what might happen when we become the church that God has intended for us to become. When we become living examples of Christ's love, active in service to our community, we'll find that we will discover ourselves living in a more intimate relationship with God, living out of God's divine plan for our human future. Then we will call upon the Lord and come and pray to the Lord, and the Lord will hear us. We will seek the Lord and find the Lord when we seek the Lord with all our heart. The Lord will be found by us, declares the Lord. And we'll hear the words of Jesus that says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." And then we can give praise to God because we know that God is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. And all of that happens for one reason and one reason only. Because our God said to us, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a future with hope." That is God's word for God's people today. As we move to the invitation for Christian discipleship, I've selected a song that I don't know if everyone is familiar with, but I think it states the nature of where our faith should be today. Let us join in singing. We know that You said it, it is done. You said it, we believe. You said it, it is done. You said it, we believe, and we believe. You said it, you believe, it is done. Said it, it is done. So move the immovable, break the unbreakable. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. From the impossible, we'll see a miracle. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. We believe for me. Amen. Do you believe for it? Do you believe for it? Then it is done. As we come now to our time of worship. We are always faced with the scripture which helps us to understand what our role is in all things, especially around giving. And our scripture says, those who are generous are blessed, for they share their bread with the poor. We come this morning to be generous because our God is generous to us. And as we come, let us be mindful of the 6th special Sunday offerings that we will be taking up. The last Sunday we will make a special request for is next Sunday. But there are 6 special offerings: Human Relations Sunday, UMCOR Sunday, Native American Ministry Sunday, Peace with Justice Sunday, World Communion Sunday, and United Methodist Student Day. And we'll be collecting these offerings until next week. It will be the last Sunday, unless by some grace of God you come late. You can send your gifts to Mason Memorial Community Church, Post Office Box 2373, Kansas City, Kansas 66110. And the ushers are ready. Meet God's giving. No matter how you try, and just that sure as you are living, and the Lord is in heaven. The more you give, the more He gives to you. Just keep on giving, because it's really true. Singing the doxology. Give me just a second. Thank you. Almighty and gracious God, we give thanks for these gifts which we receive in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you for your generosity in sharing your bounty with us. And we are privileged and honored to give just a portion of all that you give to us back to your church. We pray, O God, as we give these gifts, that someone may discover your plans for their life or for your church, and that not only will they discover it, but that they may know that you have plans for their prosperity and not to harm them, to give us all a future with hope. And more importantly, that we will believe for it. We ask all these things in the name of our Christ and for his sake. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. And now let us join together in our closing prayer. Loving God, give me the faith to trust and believe that your plans for my future are filled with glorious hope, leading to a deeper, more intimate relationship with you. And now, to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious throne, faultless and without blemish, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, power, and authority before all time, now and forever. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Music turned down and everything, and here, let me take my microphone off. I think you'd be able to hear me without the mic. How's everybody this morning?
Everybody's doing fine. How are you doing this morning?
God is good.
All the time.
And all the time, God is good.
He is good, yes.
Well, at least he's been good to me. I can't speak for everybody.
Well, I'm with you there.
You
I can
wouldn't have been good to me. How are the Collins? Pray that you're doing well this morning. How's weather in Colorado?
Oh, it's nice. Not complaining. Thankful for each day he sends.
Yeah, we get a little smattering of rain about every 20 minutes. It's almost like being in Florida. It rains one place, stops, and then rains another place and stops. And,
that's about the way it is here. But for the last three nights, we had a good rain.
Okay.
For the last three nights, it was kind of stormy weather, and we had a good downpour. And that's unusual for Colorado, so everybody was glad to see it.
Well, that means you're going to get a lot of snow this winter then.
Well, they probably real live in the high country. I hope they keep it up there and not down here.
So you're in the lowlands.
That's what I call it when it comes to snow. Every so often it'll dump on us.
Okay. But it doesn't stay long, does it?
No, it doesn't stay that long. Oh, now we get, 10 or 12 inches in my hand round for maybe 3 days.
Okay. Well, that ain't no time.
and that's only in the yards and on the in the grass. The trees start always nice and
clear. Get this address where you live, and I think about if that's as long as it lasts, as long as it does that on a Christmas Eve.
Well.
We never had that much. Well, see, we don't have snow plows to come and do our streets up here.
Oh, really?
No, they don't know what snow plows are. Okay. But I think the reason why is because it comes and in less than 2 or 3 hours it's melted.
Okay. Okay. Well, that sounds like a plan. That's some of the best snow though, because when it snows, it automatically moistens the ground without it becoming inundated. Of course, you've been here long enough to know that in Kansas, we get 12 inches of snow. It's probably going to be here till spring.
Yeah, I know it is like that in Kansas, but no, it doesn't last long. That's one thing I like about it. Well, I love Colorado weather.
Yeah.
Much better than I do Kansas City.
Okay.
So, and that's what I like about it. It comes, but it doesn't linger.
Doesn't linger.
Like I was rain, you look out the window and it's raining. By the time you go get an umbrella and get out to the car, the sun is shining and the sidewalk is all dry. You can't even tell a drop of rain. Shoot.
It sounds like Colorado is the place to be.
That's what my girlfriend says. She says, girl, I always thought Colorado was cold, but every time I talk to you, it sounds like the weather's better than this.
And you don't have to worry about tornadoes? Or do you get tornadoes?
So far, we haven't.
Well, yeah.
I say that because things are happening everywhere now, so you never know.
I'm here to tell you, fire burning up. You know, wine prices are going to go up next year because they done burned all the grapes in Napa Valley.
Yeah, I know that's right. I tell you, it's just, you just never know. We're having
Oregon's
weather
on fire
that you never dreamed of. So,
yeah, I mean,
I'm not striking tornadoes out from here. I just hope they don't come, but
yeah,
it's possible.
Say hi to Ross. Oh, she's still on.
Oh, yeah, she did.
She's still there. Hi, Ross.
Yeah, so, well.
Hello.
It's like you say, the way weather's changing, everybody's getting stuff they ain't had no business getting. And somebody.
You're right.
Somebody.
Right, because my nephew sent a video of that dust storm in Arizona, and it was something else.
It was on the news. I saw it, and I thought, who can breathe in that?
Yes. Yes.
You can't.
Mm-mm-mm.
They say you have to be careful where you pull over and park because that dust is where you bury your car.
Yep. Yep.
So you never know.
Well, and you've seen so many news stories or really weather-related stories about people having to drive through waters. And they had a story on the other day, this guy was using his GPS, and he turned and drove into a creek. And one of the reasons, because it was raining so hard, and he couldn't see what was in front of him. So it's just horrible. I mean, really horrible.
And
that ain't nearly as bad as what they're trying to do politically.
This is so true.
They don't want you to vote. They don't want you to be here. They don't want you to be represented. and all the lies they telling to try to justify their activities.
What is he trying to make America great again?
Well, trying to make America white again.
That great is spelled W-H-I-T-E.
He's trying to make
it. I said it.
Well, and
he's trying to make it great again. He's trying to make it white again.
Yeah, and the reality is it's never been that.
That's right.
It's never been that.
It's never been that.
Never.
They came and they they took advantage of and abused everybody that
mm-hmm,
was here,
mm-hmm.
and then abused and took advantage of everybody that came.
Came. Mm-hmm.
And then took advantage and abused the people they brought.
Mm-hmm.
And now
they need to start looking into their own families.
Well,
a lot of them.
Well, you know, the story is when they started this, they didn't send anybody but the criminals and the thugs. They was the ones they got rid of. And of course, if it's true.
They think everybody are criminals and thugs.
If it's true.
Of color.
Yeah, I just say if it's true, then the apples didn't fall very far from the tree.
Right.
Because I ain't never seen the kind of corruption, political corruption I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. I just have never, I never imagined it was possible.
Yeah.
Because
I lived here.
I guess I drank the Kool-Aid too, huh? the Kool-Aid of the dream that America was supposed to be.
Yes.
And he's changing everything and anything he wants to change.
Well, he got slapped in the face a couple of times this week.
But just because he got slapped don't mean they gonna complete it.
Well, and the thing, he wasn't even shy about it. He said, well, my Supreme Court will take care of it.
That's right. That's right.
That's right. He is. Everything is his. Mm-hmm. Bye.
Mm-hmm.
This ain't all right.
According to him, this
is. He had heard that the last shall be first and the first shall be last.
Well, he ain't figured that out yet.
Yeah.
But he will.
Well, yeah, time is coming.
his walls about ready to crumble.
Woo.
Yeah, well, you know, I had a, I don't even know if I ought to talk about it. I'll just wait. I wrote it down just to see if I was, getting a divine message or, because every time he shows up on camera, he looks worse and worse.
Yeah.
I won't tell you what he looks like.
Well, what I've said is that if he has to go, if he must go, and it has to be by death, that God should be the one to take him out.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
Right.
That's right. I don't wish death on nobody, but I know God knows how to take care of things.
Well,
that's right.
Yeah. And and of course, this I've also said that what we've experienced going on is really the outcome of what happens when people turn their backs on God.
Yes.
This is true. This is true.
And and God says, okay, you wanted this. You got it.
Well, what goes up has to come down. What goes up has to come down.
Right.
And the cream always floats to the top.
Yeah. Yeah, you
cream always floats to the top.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I'm back and I'm going to watch God work.
Right.
Yes, yes.
In his time.
In his time.
In
that's
his time.
Right.
Well,
that's right.
What it's got to be. It's got to be in God's time.
That's right.
Yeah, because if it was in my time, and it'd be over with already.
Yeah. Well, it would have never got started.
Well, I was going to say, that's
what I'm curious. This is true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I'll just
think it on top of that roof would have been a better shot. That's wrong, ain't it? Y'all pray for me.
We all need prayer. We all need prayer.
Yes, we do. Yes,
yeah,
we
y'all
do.
Pray for me.
Every time I let that man's name roll off my lips, I have to ask God to forgive me.
Well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm praying for everybody. Oh, I see your names and everything. I pray for all of you all the time.
Yeah.
Yes,
it's an amazing.
Yes.
Go ahead and unplug it, Ed. I've already unplugged it on this end. It's just an amazing shift.
Yes, I guess.
I'll say because we, for those of us who have been through some trials, we're used to being run over.
Yeah, it's nothing new for some of us.
It's just, but
each trial always makes us stronger. So, hey.
We're not black folks at
this. We've already been through this. We done fought our battle. Now it's your turn.
Yep.
Right.
You get out there and march for a while.
We've been marching for years.
When we was marching, we couldn't find you.
Right.
And now you want to know where we at.
Yeah.
Then we tried to tell you what we're going to have.
We tried to tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just wouldn't listen.
Boy, mm-hmm. got lies.
Mm-hmm.
He got lies to tell his lies.
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
Yeah.
And nothing we can do about it.
Yep.
Except wait it out.
Wait it out for God's plan.
Wait on the Lord. Yes, patiently on the Lord.
They that wait on
the
Lord.
Yeah.
Shall renew their strength.
Their strength.
Yes.
We will mount up on wings like eagles. We will run and not get we will walk and not faint.
Yes.
We starting another whole sermon.
Well, and like the word says, the battle is not mine, but the Lord's. So.
Not mine. Because he said he'll fight my battles.
Right.
Yeah.
All I need to do is just keep still.
Battle is not mine, it's the Lord.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the Lord knows how to fight.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
And he hadn't lost the battle yet.
And he can hit you where it hurts.
All right.
Yeah. Need to take all these rich people's money and distribute it among the poor people and then see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is true. Yeah.
Or just let them live with the idea that their money will save them. And then when it's time to call upon the Lord, they won't know who to call on.
They won't know who to call upon.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
It'll all be a lost cause.
Yeah. Yeah.
And whatever they think they got,
they ain't gonna have.
Will be dust.
Whatever they think they have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
See if your money can save you now. What are you going to offer? What are you going to offer to the Lord? I remember I told this story in Sunday school. This boy died and he got to the gates of heaven and wanted to come in, but he told St. Peter, he said, that, you know, I forgot something. And I'd really like to go back and get it. Pete said, but you hear it now, what? He said, but I really need to go back and get it. Peter said, okay. And so boy come up, he's hauling a load as heavy as all get out. He's dragging it and sweating. And he gets to the gates of heaven and Peter said, man, you worked awful hard to get that here. What is in that case? And he opened it up and the case was filled with gold. And Pete looked at him and said, so what are you going to do with paving material? He brought all this up here. We We use that to pave the streets with. What? You
get it. Here we go.
So, your values is all mixed up. You try to save something that ain't worth nothing.
Not worth nothing at all.
Yeah.
Now where we gonna be? I mean, it'd be a place where there'd be plenty for everybody. No,
yes,
I already told you I got a mansion. Well, a mansion. All you people that's been homeless, you ain't got to be homeless no more. I got a mansion for you.
Mm-hmm. Mansion waiting for you.
Waiting for you.
Yeah, yeah.
And all those people who was who was rich and wealthy, they gonna have to serve you now. Oh.
Hey.
Oh.
Hey.
Break it down. That's going to be an embarrassment. But they'll probably get treated better than they ever got treated here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well,
get back and wait.
Yeah, that's all we got to do. Well, you folks.
That's all we can do, really.
Yeah, because I don't.
Out of our control. So
I don't control the army. I just figure that, you know, some people can only take so much. And once they've worn down to their end, it's going to be over. I mean, we can already see the culture breaking down all around us. More violence, despite all of his efforts to say, I'm going to make the city safe again. That's not what he's doing. He's, of course, we all know that. We don't have to go back into that.
That's right. We know what he's doing.
Yeah.
What he's trying to do.
What he's trying to do, yeah. So, well, I need to get finished with my work for this afternoon. And
well, it's been nice visiting with everyone.
It's always nice visiting.
Yes.
Nice to see Roz and
Collins
and Alex Goodwin.
Yeah, know you there.
Even good to see me. Because
all of you all have a safe holiday and a blessed week.
Yes, you as well.
Going over to my brother's house tomorrow and celebrate his birthday with him.
Yes, yes.
He invited us over for a spaghetti dinner. I thought much money he got put back, he ought to at least give us a steak. But he says spaghetti. You know, when you're being invited, you can't question what the cook is putting on the table.
Nor can you. You're right. You can't request it either.
Well, I have a feeling. My sister-in-law is. She makes an Italian soup called Zuppa Toscana, which is a potato and sausage soup. And my brother said it's really good. She does a really good job. And I'm not assuming, because you know what happens when you assume.
You know what happens when you assume.
I'm going to presume. That she's doing the spaghetti thing so that she can make this up at Toscana. And I can finally get my taste of it. And I'm gonna do the gracious guest thing. I'm gonna take him a bottle of my favorite wine. And
it's sitting on the counter, yeah.
And I'm not gonna take him that one. That's mine. I'm going to take him.
Okay.
You know, we drink a glass of wine about once every 3 months.
If then.
I don't even think I drink it that often.
Well, you know.
And every so often, if I have a taste for it at 88, I'm going to take it.
Well, the thing of it
is. You know, there's nothing wrong with a little wine every now and then.
Yeah, usually if I have a glass of wine, it's because we went out to dinner.
You go out to dinner and
and say
I take that sociable drink. It's not a sociable drink. You drink it because you want it.
And it's usually one. Well, you know, we went to an Italian restaurant in Kansas City called Paolo and Bill's. And I think we were celebrating our anniversary or...
Mm-hmm. We're celebrating our anniversary.
Celebrating our anniversary, and we had ordered this meal, and the waitress said, well, would you like a glass of wine? And I said, well, what have you got? And she ran off a list, and I said, I don't know what's good.
I said,
what does the chef recommend? She said, let me go back and ask. So she went back and she asked, and he came out and said, he recommends mirasu. And I said, well, that's a step on me because I ain't never heard of mirasu and I wouldn't have known what to ask for. But she brought us a glass of some of the best wine I've ever had.
And, really?
Yes, and it wasn't expensive. We just had a glass. And we were doing something. I think it was Christmas party we had. And we had a request. My granddaughter, who is working on becoming a former alcoholic, she's not that bad, but she likes to get her drink on. Asked if we were going to provide something, and so I had to go to the liquor store. I said, yeah, I'll go ahead and get it for you. You can mix it when you get here. And I went to the liquor store, and I looked on the shelf, and there was a bottle of mirasu. And I said, oh, Lord. I guess I'll put my name in the pot, too. But we probably have a glass of wine about every 3 months, if that often. Mm-hmm. I would not even that. We seldom drink wine. Well, we almost never drink wine at home unless it's a special occasion.
I remember how long that one bottle was in the refrigerator?
Yeah. We. Now, what I will do after it's open, I will cook with it.
It's good. Now, I like cooking with wine.
Yeah. But just to sit down and drink a glass, in fact, I remember we went to the doctor one time and the doctor said, do you drink alcohol? And I said, yeah, we have a glass of wine about every 3 months. She said, is that all?
No, we don't drink.
Yeah, that's about it, maybe. And then when we looked it up, we realized it had been 6 months since we had had. So if we could buy a bottle of wine and it would last a year if it doesn't go bad.
Go bad. Because
usually after we've had our glass, it goes in the refrigerator, and I'll usually use it to cook if I'm cooking an Italian dish or... it's real good in beef. Well, the red wine is really good in beef dishes, and white wine, when we get it, is usually good in chicken and turkey deals. So, oh well. I'm gonna get out of here, Miss Lila and Roz, and get on with the work I got to finish up before I can go home.
Love you.
Okay, well, you be safe and enjoy your week. Tomorrow.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, have a safe holiday tomorrow.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. You do the same now. God be with you till we can talk again.
And with you all, so God bless.
All right, Miss Miller.
Thank you. God bless.